You know, it's the season of travel and vacations. Who's ready to go on vacation? Woo! About three of you. All right. The rest are on permanent vacation. Okay, I get it. All right. Well, you know, we just completed a week of vacation Bible school. Oh, we had so much fun. You heard Terry talk about some of the songs and some of the music, and many of you have already, even if you're not formally employed, you still enjoy traveling, and many of you have already taken opportunities to travel or to relax or to rest from work. And in fact, 2 weeks ago, Fran and I, we were able to go to Eugene, Oregon for her son Philip's wedding, my stepson. It was a beautiful wedding and a beautiful scenery, and it was great to see some family. And then we leave this afternoon to go to spend 2 weeks in Germany and Italy. Ooh, yeah, I'm excited. So, we've been waiting to do this for 4 years. So, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to do it, and I'm especially thankful for Tom, for Pastor Tom. Amen. Not only is he a wonderful pastor and preacher, he's a great friend, and I'm thankful to have him as a friend and to be able to entrust him to be able to cover for me while I'm out. So thank you. And I hope that you all, if you haven't had a chance recently to take a vacation or to take a trip, I hope you get to. Because speaking of traveling, some of you may know of a song called Life is a Highway by Todd Cochran. You may know that song. Life is a highway. Yeah, okay, that's about as far as I'm going to get in that. So maybe if you don't listen to the 90s rock or something like that, you've heard the recent country remake of it. But anyway, in it, there's a line that is said, he sings, life's like a road you travel on where there's one day here and the next day gone. And you know, he's absolutely right. Because, I mean, we only get an opportunity to live each day one time. You know, and the road of life is actually a little more complicated than a highway, because we're all born with a rear view mirror to see what's behind us, to see what's gone past. But there's no reverse, meaning we only get to live our 20s and our 30s once. You can't go back and you can't redo your first marriage or re-raise your first child again. And we all have things that if we could, we'd go back and change. We'd modify, we'd alter. Maybe we have some regrets. Maybe we just have some things we'd like to do better. And we can see that in our rearview mirror. But the truth is we end up spending too much time looking over our shoulder or in that rearview mirror. And we can't spend all of our time looking back to see what's past, just like we can't drive always looking in the rearview mirror. And the reality is we want to get it right. We want to get the future right. And so there are some things that we should keep in mind as we travel along this road, or this road called life. And today we're calling our message Rules for the Road, or Rules of the Road. And we want to make it both fun in the spirit of the season, but also practical. Because I want you to reach your destination. And I want you to get there safely. But moreover, my intent is for us to make these rules for the road apply to your life. So here are some rules for our life, rules for the road and for our life. And as we get into it, we're going to begin with Scripture starting in Matthew chapter 28. I invite you to take out your Bible, turn to Matthew 28, and let's find out more as we hear the good news starting in verse 16. It says, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came near and spoke to them, saying, I have received all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Look, I myself will be with you every day until the end of this present age. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord, as we follow you and as we try to be like you, Jesus, as we go where you send us and do what you send us to do, help us to remember that you are with us. And that means more to us than we realize, and it tells us more about you than we can imagine. In Jesus' name, amen. So here we are a couple of weeks just after Pentecost. We're still kind of in the season of Pentecost, and in the spirit of that season, we're starting with a scripture that takes place around the events of that day for Pentecost. You know, and to set it up, Jesus began his ministry, it was a life on the road. And one day, while he's traveling from village to village, town to town, city to city, he comes across a man that no one else wanted to be around, that no one else wanted to have anything to do with. This man was Levi, and he was a tax collector. Now, tax collectors, we're not crazy about them today, but even back then, they were considered the worst of the worst kind of people. They were considered traitors to the Jewish people because they often robbed or stole from the people through their power. They abused the Roman authority. But worst of all, because of the type of life they lived and they did it over, they were considered among the lowliest of sinners. And they had very few friends, and the friends that they did have were usually considered sinners as well. But here Jesus comes along and he sees Levi and he invites him to go with him, to join him, to leave his life of tax collecting behind and to go on the road with Jesus, sharing the good news about God. And when Levi gets up and he follows Jesus, Jesus gives him a new name. See, his birth name Levi means literally to join together. But Jesus calls him Matthew, which literally means gift of God. And Matthew experiences this gift from God by being joined with Jesus. And he writes his story. And we read the end of his story today. And towards the end of his story, he's telling us it's not the end of the story. In fact, the story goes on, and it's now our story, my story, and your story, and we are to go and tell it. And he quotes Jesus when Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them, teach them, but don't stay here. Go to all the nations, to every nation around the world, and tell them about me." And if you're not sure what Jesus meant by that, Luke clarifies it in Acts chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, when Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and then to the end of the earth." See, that's the mission when he says, "You will be my witnesses here in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, and then out in Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth." See, it begins on the roads. The road trip begins and starts close at home with roads that we're familiar with. But then it goes further and further and further out. And it's not just to the Jews there living in Jerusalem, but it's to all who live in Judea. And then Samaria. And then even the ends of the earth. And Matthew uses this word nations. Now the word nations in Greek is literally the word ethnos. Most of the places where you read the word nations in the New Testament is the Greek word ethnos. And it's where we get our word ethnic. And we tend to use this when we talk about people that aren't like us, other people or other races that's different than our own. You know, like when you go to the store and there's that ethnic aisle at the grocery store. But Jesus, when he's talking about the nations, he's not talking about the ethnic aisle at the grocery store. He's not even talking about the U.S. or Canada or Mexico. He's not talking about nations in Europe or Africa or Asia. No, he's talking about everyone. To start here in Judea with your Jewish sisters and brothers, and then go out to Samaria to your cousins there. And then from there, go out to all the other people that you never thought God even cared about, liked, or especially loved. Why? Because God does love them, and God wants them to be a part of this thing called the way of following Jesus, the way of loving God and loving neighbor, or in other words, the way of loving God by loving your neighbor. It's the way of making life better and you better at life through Jesus Christ. This is the way that's going to take you on the road so that you can share the good news of the kingdom of God. So here's the deal. Jesus has sent us. He sent me and you on a road trip. And here are some rules for the road that I hope will make the trip better for all of us. Are you ready? Yeah. All right. Rule number one. Jesus is with you. He is always with you, just like we read in our scripture today, that he will be with you to the end of the age. He is with you wherever you go. He is never going to leave you. He is right there by your side. Psalm 73 says that even when my feet stumble, even when I slip, I am still in God's presence. Isaiah 43 says, even when we pass through the fire or through the flood, God is right there with you. And Deuteronomy 31 and Hebrews chapter 13 says that he will never leave us or forsake us. So remember rule number one, that Jesus is always there with you. Rule number two, have a destination. Knowing where you're going clarifies your mission and your purpose. When Jesus announced his ministry in Luke chapter 4, he did it with clarity of purpose. He was there to proclaim good news, freedom, healing, and liberation through God's love. And then, in our verse today, he passed that same mission onto us, onto me, and onto you, that we are to go and make disciples. And so when you know where you're going to go or where you're supposed to go, how to get there becomes easier. It becomes clearer. It becomes more natural. It starts to make sense. And knowing our destination, having clarity on our mission, gives us that courage to move in the right direction. Now, rule number three, we want to go in the right direction, right? So rule number three, get a map or use a GPS. Because it doesn't matter how determined you are to get to your destination, if you don't know how to get there, you're not going to make it. I could say I'm going to Anchorage, Alaska when I pull out of mountain home, and I might end up turning east and end up in Key West, Florida. My intention of no matter how bad I want to get there doesn't matter if I don't head in the right direction. And a map makes traveling and choosing the right road easier. And if you don't have a map, borrow one. And what I mean is that someone has already been down that road before. Somebody's already been there before you. Someone has gone through what you're going through. So ask them about their experiences. Learn from them. Get guidance from them. Or read a book that someone has already written about what you're doing, because someone's already raised children. Someone's already been married or remarried. Somebody's already experienced profound loss. Someone's already been through recovery, and using their map will help better prepare you for your journey. So remember, we can look in that rearview mirror and we can look back, But we can never go back. Yet we can use someone else's experiences to help us make better decisions. Proverbs 11 and 15 and 24 teach us that with wise counselors, we have a better chance of success. Also, with a map or a GPS, the journey to get there, we realize, is just as important. The journey to get there is just as important as the destination. Because since you know where you're going, you can map it out. And anytime you plug it into the GPS or you look at the map, you realize there's multiple ways to get there. And your GPS will help you navigate the course. Of course, now you know what GPS stands for, right? God Positioning System. You know, it's a great way to check your heart and how you're relating to God and how you're relating to your neighbor along your journey. For example, when I use my GPS or my phone and I make a wrong turn or I miss the turn or the exit I was supposed to take, you know, it tells me, you know, turn ahead. Turn around, you turn ahead, 150 feet, turn around, you turn, stupid. You know, it doesn't really say stupid, but sometimes I feel like if it could, it would. It should, thanks. Anyway, with our destination mapped out, we can choose multiple routes. And this can completely change our experience because sometimes taking the road less traveled is a more rewarding adventure. Because people want to take the highway. Most of the time, we want to get there as quick and as fast and as straight and as easy as we can. But when we only stick to the expressways and the interstates and the fastest and the straightest and the easiest routes, there's so much more we miss along the way. We miss opportunities for adventure and growth. Rule number four, the destination is not the end. See, another reason we have that map and that GPS is it reminds us that there's more to the journey than the destination, but the destination is not the end because it's what we do when we get there. I mean, we never take a trip or go on a vacation just to sit in a hotel or in the camper in the tent, right? No, we go for the experience, to experience the things around the destination. For the beach, for the fishing, for the zoos, for the museums, for the beauty of nature, for the different cultures. We want to see and feel and taste and experience new things, different things. Just like getting to heaven is not the end of our faith journey. It's the result of our faith. And then we live out eternity experiencing an even greater life in the presence of Jesus. That's right. So we're reminded when we read the Gospels, we follow the stories of Jesus, many of the adventures the disciples had, many of the things that Jesus did, his miracles he performed, didn't happen on the main highways and the main easy roads. They happened when he ventured off the normal path where the disciples didn't think to go. Consider, for example, John chapter 4. And the Samaritan woman at the well in Samaria. She was the first evangelist when she went and told her whole village about Jesus. Rule number five, make pit stops. Be ready for pit stops. Sometimes you're going to be at a pit stop before you even go when you know you need to. You check your vehicle for a tune-up, change your oil, air up your tires, fill up your tank. But we might see this in our lives as worship, prayer, reading our Bible. Hebrews 10:25 reminds us not to stop meeting together, not to stop worshiping and praying and studying and reading Scripture together. But it also reminds us to encourage one another because it's too important to forsake, to forget to do this. Because if we get distracted, otherwise, we might get distracted, we might get tired, or we might get off course. Besides, when we take a pit stop, we take time to rest and refuel. Jesus often took time to rest and relax. In Mark chapter 6, Jesus invites the disciples to get away to a quiet place so they could eat and so they could rest. They were always going and going and going. And he wanted them to stop and to take a break. Jesus did this often. And so we need to stop along our trip, along the way. Take a break. Rest. Refuel. Recharge. Get some food. At least get some snacks and refreshments so we can be ready to continue our journey. Rule number 6, pay attention to road signs. Yeah, some of you know this because they're there for our direction and our protection. Anybody ever regret ignoring a road sign? Yeah, I think we've all been there. And sometimes, you know, we think, those road signs for other people. Slow down for the curve ahead. I'm a good driver. I've got it. Or the yellow light means speed up, right? That's kind of how we drive sometimes. But then what happens when we see somebody else do it? We see somebody else take a curve too fast or driving wild or running that yellow light. And we're thinking, idiot! Putting other people's life in danger? Sometimes we forget to look at that idiot in the mirror. Proverbs 22 and 27 says, "The prudent, the wise, see the signs and respond to them." It's easy to ignore the signs, but we do so at our own peril. And it's easiest in our life to ignore the signs of our relationships, of our family. It's too easy to neglect those. But the truth is, nothing improves with neglect. If you don't know how to fix it, seek help. Pay attention to the signs, the weather signs, the warning signs, the exit signs. Know when to take a detour, when to merge, or when to check out a point of interest. And finally, rule number 7, save this one for last. Take someone else with you. The trip is much better with good company. Good company is extraordinarily important because when we choose good company, it makes a better trip. Good company, or your company, determines the quality of your trip. When you choose who you choose to travel with, determines the quality of your life. Proverbs 13:20 says, "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools suffers harm." Meaning that if you travel with someone good, someone wise, you'll become better. You're going to learn from them. You're going to grow from them. You'll glean from their wisdom. But if you travel with someone who is a fool, in other words, someone who doesn't care about consequences, you'll suffer the same consequences as them. Ecclesiastes 4:10 says that when you've got a partner, you're stronger, you get more done, you can help each other, and you can pick one another up when one of you falls. And I love how Jesus says in Matthew 18:20, he says that wherever two or more are gathered, I am there with them. But finally, bring someone along. Don't arrive alone. Because ultimately, this is the purpose of our mission, of our road trip. It's our opportunity, my opportunity, your opportunity to bring someone else with us, to bring someone else to Jesus. Because our whole mission is to share the good news, to share the gospel and all the amazing things about the kingdom of God and what that brings into our life and into my life and into your life and into their life. Bring someone with you. Let's not waste this opportunity. So to recap, here are our rules for the road. Jesus is with you. Have a destination. Get a map or use a GPS. The destination is not the end. Make pit stops. Pay attention to road signs. And finally, take someone with you. That's our 7 rules for the road. Don't be surprised if you hear more about this in the not-too-distant future, because as we were working on this and as we were brainstorming things for it, we found so much richness and so much wisdom in here that we got excited, and we're probably going to create a series on this in the future and extrapolate each one of these. I'm excited for what we're about to encounter. I'm excited to hear about your vacations and your road trips and your trips in life. I'm excited to hear your stories. I want to know how things turn out. So be prepared to share them with me. I'll share mine with you. But for now, it's time to hit the road. So let's get out there and be the church. Amen?